We are live.
We are live with another podcast this evening.
Sound like we're going to church, Mike.
This is Mike, we have John with us tonight and Josh once again, talking about sports, dating, pop culture, many different topics for us to discuss.
And just to give a little introduction about what we're doing here, essentially we are doing real rap for the community and then being presented in a very charismatic and authentic way for the purpose of spreading more positivity in the community. Because in our community, I think it's fair to say that we appreciate positivity, but also charisma and that confidence, because that's how leaders in our community often, you know, illustrate their, I feel like, that divine gift.
Big facts.
I agree 100%. So where'd you guys want to get started at?
Well, let's get started with the name first, because we are A New You Radio. We are the official podcast and hopefully soon full radio station for A New You Salon on Hamilton Ave.
Shouts out to A New You. Shouts out to Jazz once again. Actually, I was told in our last podcast the shout out was weak. So,
who said that?
A friend of mine. I'll make a little
stronger. Do they go to the shop too?
They don't. But so they know Jazz though. So shout out to my man Jazz. Shout out to A New You once again.
The living legend, the man that never sleeps.
There we go.
Yeah, right? Yo, Jazz dropped some knowledge, as he usually does. And I think one of the best things that I learned from him, besides his ruthlessness in terms of the truth and facts, because that's something that Jesus did.
Very you feel me?
So Jesus was communicating in all realms of existence, so mind, body, and spirit. So when you're conscious on that level, when you're speaking facts on that level consciously, it creates waves in the community. And I feel like Jazz doing what he's doing now is literally the perfect thing for him to illustrate that.
Yeah, one thing about him is that he works a lot, but it's not just for monetary reasons. He actually likes dropping knowledge on the communities and giving young men especially advice on what to do in all aspects of their life. And it's funny because a conversation I had with him was an inspiration to one of the topics that we're going to discuss tonight.
Okay.
Which often happens when it comes to Jazz. So without further ado, the most popular, I guess, is kind of the dating aspect. Which we got into last time. Got some very good feedback from a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. From both of all of our podcasts, right?
All podcasts.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we want, to inspire the conversation and keep the comments and the people talking.
Yeah, keep the conversation going, because this is the essence of the barbershop, right? That's why we thought it was very poetic to have three people from the same barbershop who just met just because of the barbershop. Like, to be fair, we live in the area, but I don't think there would be any way I would run into y'all any other way, so it's even cooler.
What should I say, Josh? Josh, you want to hang out with me?
No, I'm talking about like randomly, serendipitously.
Okay,
Miguel, okay. My goodness.
I just believe, like, with the idea, especially with A New You, with how open Jazz is, even though he can be a bit much at times, I just think once you get past that, the ideas and the energy that he presents, it's a very comfortable environment to where you can get a great haircut, great conversation, and also meet great people from all walks of life.
1,000%.
I agree. I've met people there throughout the years. There's a gentleman right now in my fantasy league who lives in Maryland who goes to Jazz at A New You.
And all the way up from Maryland.
All the way from Maryland. He comes every 2 weeks gets his hair cut.
Damn.
But he's in my fantasy league because we got to talking at the barbershop. And he's winning right now, too. So, shout out to Evan. I'm talking to right now. Talking about right now. I like to start from the previous podcast I listened to.
Okay.
And then piggyback on that with some new material and get your takes on. I don't know if you heard his most recent podcast about the beat and switch situation, John. But it was you and
Kevin. And Ariella.
And Ariella, which I did follow on Instagram, both of them. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
The marketing is doing his job.
Well, his job. Kevin's big on his weightlifting and working out.
That's actually who I personally work out with.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. So yeah, I'm not just talking. I did go look and did go follow.
Because he's in the videos on my YouTube channel as well. That's those fitness videos. That's Kevin. Oh,
right. Okay, shout out to Kevin. So I'm listening to this podcast that Josh sent me, and they were talking about dating and the bait and switch aspect of dating, which is very prevalent. It happens in a lot of relationships, and people are very scared of it. I had a girl tell me recently, you know, I don't want you to be this way now, and then 6 months from now, you show me the quote-unquote real you. Mm. And that's the whole aspect of being afraid of the bait and switch situation. But listening to Kevin, he took a different approach, and he was talking about when a guy approaches a girl and he's in a certain situation and he can't give this girl his full attention, so to speak. But he lets her know this up front, is very transparent, and makes sure that she is aware. And then a lot of times, not all the time, as time passes, the female in the situation doesn't, quote unquote, hold up her end of the agreement. She wants more. She wants more time. She wants an actual relationship. She wants to know where this is going.
She wants the commitment. She wants to have the talk.
She wants to have the talk.
Probably on a weekly basis. Hopefully not nightly if they're living together, but you know.
Well, I thought they're living together because they have an agreement in place. So, and that's true. And that happens a lot. And we, of course, as men, and I'm only talking about men in situation, even though it happens from both sexes, but we, of course, as men, feel justified when we get upset and we say, you know, I told you all I can give from the beginning. Why are you now questioning me about what more I can give?
That's a fair point, because in every community, men are judged for what they say and backing up what they said. So they're doing what men are supposed to do. They told you the truth. They looked you in the eye, told you the authentic truth, and backed it up. And then you're still complaining about it.
Right. And that happens a lot. However, there's always a however.
But
when we come to the opposite sex with these agreements, I think we're smart enough, experienced enough to know that inevitably they're going to want more at some point. And also, in life in general, with new information comes new expectations. And that's just how life goes. So when the agreement starts out that I'm just seeing you every Friday, we're going to do whatever and I'm going to leave, talk to you maybe sometime next week, that's fine. But sometimes what happens is that the guy or the girl, but the guy in this case, starts to want to hang out, catch a movie. I need someone to help me look for an outfit to a show I'm going to. This new information the girl now has. I like spending time with him, even though we're not here. So the expectation for her has now changed to maybe we can be in something more. But he doesn't see it that way because he's still thinking that we're still in the same agreement that we already had, not knowing that his actions, even though minute, are now changing her expectations.
So, again, I'm going to let John step in here because, I have a whole podcast episode about this. So,
right. I do want to get John's.
So I will just say, if we do concede to that, I would feel like it would be enabling them to not being used to not getting what they want. So you're giving them that. You're giving them what they want, and they want it because you're not giving it to them. So that's this human nature 101 in terms of how the brain is designed. That's human nature 101. You want what you can't have, and that applies to everyone. That you can even say that applies to animals in some ways.
And before you step in, John, I do want to hear John's aspect.
I'm sorry, brother John. I'm sorry.
The cutoff.
I'm sorry, John. I definitely hear you, Josh, as always. But again, you're still not missing the aspect of, they only want more because of your actions. Again, new information raises new expectations. So you made them think this can be something real by the things you do. As I always do in these podcasts, I talk about real life situations. I have a friend who I won't name, but he's been single for like 10 years. I don't know how he's done it, like, but he has been single for like 10 years. And he has these same situations, these same agreements, where he tells the girl up front, this is what I can do, this is what I don't want to do. Or he dates him sometimes with the thought that it may be able to go further. But then after like 2-3 dates, he's like, no, I don't want it to go further, but I want to do this with you only. But he also says, I want female companionship. So why don't you just come over and watch a movie? Why don't you go with me to eat? But I don't want to be anything more than what we are right now.
That's fair. Those are dating activities. That's fair.
Which is new information, which changed their expectations. Your thoughts, fair. John?
Well, to add on to that point, I feel like the biggest flaw in that is when you give that idea to a woman, basically saying like, listen, this is it. I don't really want much, but we can go out here and there. The minute you start any type of relationship with a woman, especially if it gets sexual and it's like on a consistent basis.
Right.
If it's like sporadic, it's really not much. But if it's consistency, because a lot of women tend to hold on to consistency, even if you tell them it's not a relationship, they view it as a relationship, regardless of what you say, because it's on a consistent basis. They may feel like they have the right or willpower to speak to you whenever they want to, or if you're going out or you're doing things together. I feel like women tend to tie on to that. Even though in your mind, the male's mind, they may not see it that way, the woman's going to see it as this was a relationship. And she might even go on even further and say, well, this is my boyfriend. She might not physically say it to you, but in her actions, or if she speaks to her friends or her counterparts in that sense, you guys are in a relationship, regardless of what you say. And I feel, going back to what you said in regards to the bait and switch, when you're saying, when you give this persona or idea of like, let's say, this is what I want and this is what I really want, but it might not be what you really want, but you're just trying to gain the attention of that specific person that you want. I feel like, at least in my opinion, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because at the end of the day, I feel like people take relationships so seriously, like as if it's a marriage.
Right.
But you're not married. Like, because at the end of the day, when you're married to somebody, it's a commitment. You take them for better or worse. When you're in a relationship, a boyfriend, girlfriend type of thing, you take them as is. If you don't like this particular thing, you just leave. There's no commitment. There's no paperwork involved. It's nothing. When you're married to somebody, there's an agreement. There's paperwork. It's legal. There's legalities that's associated to it. So you are tied to that person. You got to take them for what it is. But if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, a little situationship here and there, you do what you want. And I feel like a lot of people get those things and like put them in the, try to compare and contrast them, and they just get confused. But it's like a trial and error period. You go out with this person, it's funny, like people lie, right? They might not do it intentionally, but they just do it because it sounds better.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're not going to meet somebody the first date. I'm like, hey, listen, I have issues. Like, I was being as a kid. Like, I don't have, my money's not right. You know, my checking and savings, they don't connect. All that stuff.
You're going to put on your best self.
Yeah. Right. So you're doing that because basically you're putting on a show in a sense. And I feel like you shouldn't take that so seriously, because at the end of the day, you're really trying to impress the person. You should take it as a compliment. Mm. Because at the end of the day, nobody wants to hear a sob story on the first date. You need time to grow and to know that person. Because if you just do that all up from the jump, most people will look at you as if you're crazy,
right?
Or you're unstable. Or, oh, this person has issues. I don't want to deal with that. And you see that all the time. So that's why it kind of gives people that idea of where, like, listen, I can't be physically honest. Like, you may want to be honest. You may want to say the truth. But if you do it just based off your past experiences or what you've seen or in movies or in TV or whatever, if you do that, they're going to judge you. Nobody wants to be judged. Nobody wants to feel awkward. Nobody wants to feel beneath somebody just because of their experiences. Everybody has different experiences. Everybody has different challenges. Everybody has different growth patterns. So at the end of the day, the finesse game is real. Sometimes you have to finesse, but at the end of the day, it regardless of that person finds out, don't look at it at in a negative aspect. Look at it as if, like, why would this person put on this whole show for me? Like, why would they do this? Like, what was the reason? Like, are they like really impressed by me? Did they feel intimidated? Like, what is it? Like, instead of you getting angry, figure out why and then build off of that. And I feel like that bait and switch material or whatever, I feel like, you know, it makes sense. Why not? Do it. But don't take it to heart. It's like not that big of a deal. If you don't want to be around that situation, then you're not obligated to be in it. Just leave. But if you do, then take heed to what's going on and build from it. Don't break down from it, or don't like judge this person like, oh, I can't believe this. What does that do? It does nothing. Like, all you have to do is just make a choice. Life is full of choices, good ones and bad ones. You learn from them, either from either or. Just do it.
That's very interesting, your take on it. Basically, you're saying that with the bait and switch situation, which I won't spend a lot of time on because there was a whole podcast already done on that, but with the bait and switch, that it's actually not something we're doing to trick someone, but we're putting our best foot forward in the beginning because we don't want to be in an awkward situation where we have to answer questions about our life or our past before getting to know that person.
Right. And don't get me wrong, there is some people who do this professionally, who do it intentionally, which I'm not speaking on that sense, but I'm talking for the normal person. Because right. I know there are some pickup artists out there, and there's people who do this professionally. I get it. But in a normal situation, normal dating patterns, it's something that always happens. But you can't get mad at somebody when they do these things, because at the end of the day, they don't want to be viewed as if you're bringing them down. And it depends on the person, because there's some people you may go out with, right? And they may be so down to earth off of what they say and how they present themselves that you may feel inclined to actually speak the truth, because you could tell off of what they do or how they act, they're not going to talk down to you because of what they said about themselves, which makes sense. But then there's some people, maybe it might be first date jitters or whatever the case may be, they may give off the impression, like, if I actually say this about this person, like, oh, I just lost my job, I'm on unemployment for blah, 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 or I dropped out of college and I didn't know what I wanted to do, or I still live with my parents, or blah, blah, blah. And you feel like this person has all this. If I say all this, it's going to automatically take away from the good things that you do have to offer, and they're going to automatically shut you down. And you don't want that. You want the person to actually get to know you first. And sometimes you might have to, you know, go back to the quote-unquote finesse and get their attention. Because at the end of the day, you see situations where people get married from that. Like, you know, they find out the person may not have been completely honest, but they didn't do it with bad intentions. They just felt awkward. And as they got to know each other, as they got to a sense of building from each other and they built from their experiences, they were able to make an incredible empire. They were able to make a great family. They were able to make something and went from nothing into something. But you have to experience those things and go through those trial and errors to really know what it is to be with somebody, because that's what marriage is. You have to go through bad to good. You have to be able to, you have to be willing and able to make those things work, because a lot of people get those things misconstrued, and they don't want to go through the bad. The minute something goes bad, they're out. That's not real. That's fake. That's something you learn in kindergarten. You don't like it? All right, I don't want it. Go away.
Just change the channel, right?
Yeah. It's right. Like, but what is that? Like, how is that a relationship if somebody messes up or they make a mistake or they did this, that, and the third, and then you just walk away? How can you say with confidence that this was my boyfriend or my girlfriend or whatever the case may be? You can't. It's a joke. It's honestly a joke. That's why when I see people say they're in relationships and they focus on social media and they get jealous, and then you see them with one relationship for a couple months and then they delete it, and then they don't want nothing to do with that person. How can you say you're in a relationship with somebody? How could you say you love somebody and then you find out they do something 6 months later and you delete them out of your lives? So you didn't love that person. It was just an idea that you were going along with because it felt good. It looked good, and it was something that was just attractive. You have to go through the nitty-gritty. You have to go through the things that are not attractive, the things that you don't want to post, the things that you don't want to speak about out loud. Those are the things that actually make and break relationships. These things that people are doing on a day-to-day basis are not relationships. They're just I don't have a word, but it's just literally, it's nonsense. Until you can find somebody who can have the same way in regards to the way you're thinking in that sense, of just really honestly understanding, like, things can go wrong and what we can do to make it better. If you can't, if that person can't look at it within that particular mind space, then this person is not ready for a quote-unquote relationship. They're ready for a fantasy. And that's all that is. And a lot of people just cater to fantasies. They go from one fantasy to another fantasy. They're actually never been in a relationship. They never had an idea of what a true relationship is. Because if you're not willing to go through that dark side to get to the good side, then you're just living a fantasy. Simple as that.
So, Josh, you in particular, I wanted to ask you about John's comments and your thoughts on the beginning of the relationship. And do you just always put your best foot forward, or do you kind of finesse a little bit or leave some things out on purpose?
Oh, for me, I try to be as transparent as possible. And I've been often told that I'm brutally honest and perhaps too honest. But I would rather be that, because that's how I am. And then there's no surprises at all. So there's no, I remove the opportunity for a bait and switch from being so transparent initially and having that consistency. So I'm consistent like the sun in that. So that's never going to change. That's the constant. So if, again, and again, we've been with girls who would try to alter and curve that behavior, and some have succeeded and some have not. So if they do succeed, then they're no longer attracted to you, because they got attracted to you for that reason. So if they change you, right, if they try to gaslight you with language like that, or try to manipulate in terms of that consciously, and then you cater to that either unwillingly or you just like them that much, then usually they'll stop liking you because you're no longer yourself. You've changed yourself for them.
I agree. I as well, just to answer the question, try to be as transparent as possible. Something I learned over the years, not initially in my dating time, was I always transparent, but it's something that I learned to be by watching others be very transparent and watching them tell their things you would think are very embarrassing and not something you would tell, but a woman being okay with it. And I thought, you know, why not be transparent moving forward? But those are my thoughts on that bait and switch topic. I wanted to break this down into three different parts for this dating podcast. So the bait and switch is obviously the beginning of the relationship. You're meeting the person and you're telling them who you are. Then there's the middle aspect, when you're actually in the relationship. And this is the part where Jazz contributed to the podcast. So I was having a conversation with him one day in my life. I won't say when, for my personal listeners. However, I was dating this girl, and things weren't going well, and we were going in circles for months, but I was still dating her, and I wasn't happy, and I was holding on, hoping that things would get better. And he said one sentence to me, and he said, "What do you want?" And I told him at the time what I wanted, seeing as though he had heard me talking about this particular woman. He knew what I wanted, she was not able to provide for me. So his advice was, obviously, she can't give you what you want. So instead of waiting around to find out if she can give it to you at some point, maybe, while you're just getting frustrated, just talk to her. Tell her, you know, right now you can't give me what I'm looking for. Maybe one day you can, but right now it doesn't work for me. So going back to what John said, when he said, you know, when you are in these relationships and you're not quite married yet, that if you're unhappy or felt like you were baited and switched, you can always just leave. So the question I give to both of you is, when we're meaning in a general sense, men, women, society, when we are in relationships and we know what we want, but we're not getting what we want, why do we stick around hoping to get what we want instead of moving on to try and find someone who can provide it for us?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of things you could attest to that. I feel like one major thing is you attract who you are. Mm. And I feel like a lot of people might have issues, right? You know, not might, a lot of people do have issues. You know, some could be better, some are better than worse, but I feel like if you don't work on those personal issues that you may encounter on a day-to-day basis, it could cause those hindrances in regards to relationships where you feel like you need this, that, and the third. But if you don't address what issues you have with yourself, it can kind of cloud your judgment on what you actually feel, what you actually need. And if you don't do that, I feel like that's the biggest disservice when you say you want something, but you're not applying yourself to fix it. And I feel like another item that could definitely assist in that regard of just finding what you really want in that person is sometimes when you put the pressure on to someone where, let's say, you want to have kids, you want to be married, and you really want this out of life. And I feel like if you do that on a constant basis, it can be an annoyance, but two, you're also putting, like, if this is something that you actually want, you're giving the opportunity for that particular person that you're dealing with to make a decision. Like, is this something that I actually want to do with you? Or is this something that's just scaring me completely and I know I'm going to be wasting your time, so I'm just going to walk away because this person's consistently bringing this because this is what they actually want. And I feel like there's nothing wrong with doing that, but you have to also know your parameters of when you do put that out there, because it could also make you look a different way, like you're just, this is something that you're just desperate for, when it might not actually be the case. It's just something that you, how you were raised, what you feel like is the good thing that you want out of life, and this is what is going to help you further your life in that regard. And I think when you break it down in that context of just like really focusing on what it is that you need to help build yourself, you get different results. Because at the end of the day, just going back to that, what I mentioned first, you attract to what you actually are. If you're willing to work on yourself and really work on yourself, honestly, I honestly feel once you do that and you do it truthfully, you get different people. You attract different people. People can see your energy. People can feel your vibe when you walk into a room and see that this person is what I like, is what I want to be with, as opposed to you being in toxic relationships or having toxic ideas, but not never working on yourself. And when you work on yourself and when you change the way your patterns, you attract different people, you attract different relationships, you attract different friends, you attract different social groups. And when all those things change, you'll be surprised by the mate that you're looking for will just jump right in front of you by doing those things. But if you don't do it, you can't get mad, because you are literally attracting what the thing that you say that you don't want, you're exuding that energy to come running towards you one by one, one by one, one by one. But if you change what idea of what you want out of your life, you would get the result. And if I bring Jazz in the picture, I don't want to get too personal, like he tells me a lot of things from his past. If you look at the patterns of what he said and what he portrays, like, listen, I don't want to do this no more, I don't want to deal with that, this is what I want, he got what he wanted just because he made a decision of basically saying, like, this is the type of life I want to live. I'm not going to go to these particular events. I'm not going to partake in these particular actions. I'm not going to entertain the people who are going to potentially bring my business down. And when you do those things, you get the results that you truly and honestly want out of life by making those decisions. They're tough decisions because a lot of people don't want to do it. A lot of people want to live reckless. Be honest. You do. It's fun. But at the end of the day, you got to like own up to the things that you've done, learn from it, and, you know, grow up. And by doing that, things will be so much better. But you just have to be willing and able to make that decision. And once you honestly make that decision with yourself, I guarantee that particular problem or issue you have with finding that right person won't be as hard at the as the end result.
Those are big facts. And as you were describing that, it reminded me of Cat Williams' Pimp Chronicles. And it was like, you need to figure out what about your, let's say, your lady parts that's attracting, you know what, those type of ninjas. So it's like you said, you have to make those conscious efforts. Mm-hmm. So back to what your prompt, sir.
Right.
Which
so...
was, no, I got like,
okay.
Yeah, we're good. Which is essentially what? Why do we stay in these situations? And I say it's because convenience. So I think those type of scenarios, when you're, like you said, being not being real, you're being essentially in a fake, you're living in a lie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like signing up for a job or agreeing to work at a place that you're only going there for benefits, and it's not going to be long term. Like, you know that going in at the end of the day. But the dangers in these vortex type of jobs, these black holes, is that you get that convenience, which is what the economy is based off of, you being comfortable, right? So all you have to do is consume to fulfill your actual needs. So you're trying to solve an internal issue externally. So instead of actually doing what you want, which could be in this situation, this metaphor, is going after your passion, doing what you love, you're staying at a job that you know will never fulfill you, like you said, and then what do you do? You just get used to just living there. Then 40 years later, now it's time for you to retire.
That makes, you know, 100% sense. It's a perfect metaphor to what we're talking about. So you feel as though a person stays in that relationship, they're not completely happy with not getting what they want because it's just convenient for them. It's easier just to stay there.
Absolutely. And there's no risk involved, really.
And to add on to that, you know, I think that's like the perfect comparison, what Josh presented. A lot of people do it every day. Mm. You know, like I have a Pacific coworker who's worked for a certain amount of years at the same place. And they complain about the same things, the pay, benefits, how they're not able to do this, that, and the third, but no one's holding you down to staying at this place. You could leave at any day. It's like the company could fire you whenever, so why won't you just take that opportunity to kind of sway you or push you into finding something else? But you don't do it because you find yourself being complacent towards that idea. But going back into that thought process, you're not changing how you want to do things because you're comfortable. That's how people on a day-to-day basis, when it comes to politics or the news or advancing in life, they're able to get taken advantage of because they're not willing to look outside the box. Because walking outside of the box is dangerous. It's not attractive. It's not something that you actually want to do because it's hard. Nobody wants to live a hard life. No, everybody wants things to be easy. That's why when it comes to, if you break down relationships, it can be hard, but it doesn't have to be as hard as what you think it is. It's just how your thought process is. Like, if you're not willing to do the simple things, you're going to create those simple things that you're not willing to just come out of your shell and fix about yourself. It's just going to become even harder and harder and harder because you're not willing to do it. Same thing with work. You go to a job Monday through Friday or Monday through Sunday or whatever the case may be, whatever hours you may have, you're going to get caught up in this box because it's something that you've done every day. It's something that you feel like is paying your bills. It's something that's giving you the opportunity to get up every day just because you don't want to do something different because it's scary. But like as I said, life is about good choices and bad choices. And if you decide to make that quote-unquote bad choice, you can't get mad at the result, at the end result, because that's what you chose to do. You can't get mad at somebody who has those particular fortunes. You can't get mad at somebody who has that perfect relationship. You can't get mad at that particular person who doesn't go through the same struggles as you, because you decided to stay in that box. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big advocate for some people who may not have the inspirations or the views or the people to help enlighten them into doing something differently. But I would say the common person does have that idea, per se, of wanting to do something different. But it's just the idea of you wanting to actually do it and go through it. And if you actually do those things, you'll be surprised by your end result. Like bringing it, just breaking it down to a simple point. You have a test. You have these tests. You take this course. You never study, you fail. But you start studying, or you start sitting with this person who knows a little bit more, and they talk the way you talk, and you decide to sit with them and go to those study groups, and you go to those extra hours, and you sit with that professor or whatever, and then you start getting, and then you start passing, and you're like, oh wow, by actually putting effort, I get a different end result. Or sports, I didn't practice, I didn't do this, then I didn't do that, but now I'm sitting here and I'm actually learning. And learning, taking my time, and now I'm getting more play time. Now I'm getting more people who want to be around me. Now I'm getting more feedback from people, in the sense of where I'm getting notoriety, of where like people are actually wanting to be around me just because I'm willing and able to do it. That's attractive, by you doing something that's outside of the box. Because most people don't do that stuff. They don't want to work towards whatever goal there is. They may say it, but they're not actually doing it. But when they see somebody who do it, they automatically forget about what they're doing and they follow that person because it's attractive, because not many people around them are doing the things that they want to do, that are breaking barriers, because they're just being complacent or doing what the next person is doing. So I feel like when you change those things, you get better results.
So... And I agree with everything you said, 100%.
Facts.
And all those aspects of life definitely will help you get the best results overall. I do want to take it from a broader aspect, though, to a more personal aspect. And since this is a, you know, Poetic Charm podcast about the actual dating part of it. So, Josh, with your metaphor, I was thinking about it while John was talking, and you were talking about the job that you're at and being complacent and not getting out there to maybe open your own business or do something new and staying at the job because it's convenient. Convenient was a term that you used. But when I was thinking about the metaphor, I thought about the job. And a lot of times you work for these corporations and you aren't happy because you can't move up, and the things they have you do, it's just too much for you for very little pay. But they can't do anything about it because it's a corporation. They have their rules. And this is it. But in a relationship, you're dealing with a human being, an individual. So, in essence, they can change. So even though there's a convenience for you to stay, do you make an attempt to have them change to stay? Or do you just leave?
Well, I don't believe or subscribe to that philosophy that people have to change in order to be with each other. Because I feel like if you're coming together in a relationship with someone, now don't get me wrong, that doesn't say that you both grow and improve together. But if you want to change someone's fundamental behavior and character, then you're doing a do-it-yourself project. That's a reclamation project.
I agree with that.
So I feel like that's a waste of time and energy for both. That's not going to serve either one of you, or even your world collectively. That's not going to do anything. And it actually reminds me a lot of Jazz's example. This is why I keep telling him to write the book about this. But the same aspect of how, if you put your mind to it, you can actually get out of the hood. You just have to stop doing things like what? Conscious decisions. Stop buying Jordans. Stop paying all this money for things that you don't need, or depreciating assets. Because you're not stacking the money. And he's saying it's a lot easier to get out than most people are actually doing.
I agree with that too. He's actually, I remember he talking about a friend of his, and him and his wife. And I don't know if it was 1 or 2 years, but they did like a monetary experiment where they decided to save one whole salary and just live off of the others.
Okay.
And if you did that, you know, if the person made whatever, 40, 50, 60,000 a year, at the end of this year, you got 40, 50, 60,000 because you were able to figure out how to live off the one salary. And it goes back to your point that if you put your mind to it, to anything, you can achieve it or get off the hood in that particular case.
And just anecdotally, since we're on relationships, the podcast I have with my boy Mikhail, so he and his wife actually did that. They actually saved for their wedding while she was essentially collecting her check, and they were financing based on his salary. So they were able to pay for the wedding and their honeymoon without being in debt at all, which is a great way to start a marriage responsibly.
Agree with that too, 100%. So I guess we never really answered the question why. I think convenience is the...
Convenience, complacency, and lack of accountability.
Do you agree with that?
Of course.
Okay.